Wow, is that not amazing? I mean, let's pass out some construction paper, begin to write. We could pray and go home. I mean, that is unbelievable. But that's what encounters are all about. It's meeting Jesus face to face. And over the last several weeks, our senior pastor, Jeff Parrish, and then last week, David Joseph, and then this week, I want to share with you from the Scripture stories of people that encountered Jesus. Stories of people that came face to face with Jesus, and their lives were changed forevermore. So if you have a Bible today, I'm going to ask you to turn to Luke chapter 15. We're actually going to be in two major passages in Luke. Luke chapter 15, and then we're also going to be in Luke chapter 19. But I think Luke 15 is a springboard into a true story that happens in Luke chapter 19. So you really need both of those stories to keep this encounter in context. So if you have a Bible, Luke chapter 15, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 7. And this is what some refer to as the parable of the lost sheep. I think Jesus is just setting up a story that is going to happen in just a few days, in just a few moments, with an encounter of someone that Jesus is radically going to change their life as they are able to meet Him face to face. Hey, how about the high school band leading in worship today? Wasn't that amazing? Every week I have the privilege of doing church with those guys, and it's incredible. And then Sam, thank you very much for helping us in worship with the visual arts. I mean, that was awesome stuff today. So Luke chapter 15. I tell you that because anytime I'm sharing with our students, I always ask them to do something I'm going to ask you to do today. And that is, if you're able, I'm going to ask you to stand with me as we read from God's Word. I want you to know, I believe these are the Holy Scriptures anointed by God, that this has the power to change our lives far more than any songs we may sing or video we watch or a pastor may share. It's God's Word that is alive and active and sharper than even a two-edged sword. So Luke chapter 15 and starting in verse 1. We're going to have the Scriptures on the big screens. Also going to have the Scripture here. A couple things I want to point out to you today as we travel along in this passage. So Luke chapter 15. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to Him. Now the Him that this is referring to is Jesus. Okay. So the tax collectors, which, I mean, I hate to say it, and if you work there, I read it in a commentary, so please don't write me an email. But it's really like modern-day IRS you got going on here. So the tax collectors and the sinners, that's modern-day you and me, okay? So we fit into that category. So the tax collectors and the sinners were drawing near to Him. And the Pharisees and the scribes, those were the religious people. Those were the people that were like church experts. So those guys. The Pharisees and the scribes, they grumbled. That's just a nice way of saying they gossip because they didn't like it. Okay, they didn't like what Jesus was doing. They didn't like the encounters that He was having with people and how these people who were tax collectors and sinners were changing. And they didn't necessarily like that. They didn't grow up in the church. They didn't grow up going to the synagogue. They didn't make it as a disciple. So they don't really like what's going on here. And they said, "This man receives sinners and even eats with them." Now, keep in mind that a meal in Jesus's day, to eat with someone, it's not like you and I, you know, meeting at Chick-fil-A, grabbing a number one, a sweet tea, 30 minutes and we're gone. That's not what this is about, all right? I mean, this took time. This was a big ordeal. This was epic. I mean, some people say that a meal could last 2, even 3 hours. So Jesus is really getting to know them. Verse 3. So He told them this parable. That is, Jesus tells the Pharisees and the scribes and those that are listening, He tells them this parable. That's a story. What man of you, having 100 sheep, so you've got 100 sheep, if he lost, now listen to this, if he lost how many? One. That's important today, all right? That if he lost one of them, does he not leave the 99 in the open country, because they'll be safe there in the sheepfold, and go after the how many? One that is lost, all right? And then until he finds it, then look down in verse 5. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together all of his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Verse 7. "Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." So today, I want to share with you this concept of seeking and saving. Now, I really want to share with this concept with you today. The thought of one. All right? The thought of one. So let's pray together. Father, we love you. Thank you for the opportunity to do church with such an incredible group of people every week. And Father, we thank you for our pastor who leads us. And God, as you've put him as our shepherd here of this congregation, God, we pray that you would refresh him and that you would use him in mighty ways as you give him a vision to take us where it is that you desire for this church to go. And Father God, we pray for the message today as we proclaim the gospel through the story that you left us of this incredible encounter. God, I pray that it would be relevant to us today, that we would realize that we also are the person in the story. God, I pray that somehow, some way, God, that we would also see ourselves as the one and not just a part of the 99. And so, God, I pray that you would have your will and your way today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So we're in Luke 15, and we got the setup to where we're going to go. And here's what I think is so important from Luke 15, is that Jesus puts a great emphasis on one. That one is a big deal to Jesus, right? This past week, several of our students from Indian Rocks Christian School went on mission trips. I mean, we had hundreds of students all over the place, probably 5 or 6 different countries, 2 or 3 different cities. I mean, it was an amazing thing that we were doing, that God was using. I had the privilege of going to Dominican Republic, and I've probably been there 25, 27 times. I mean, I've been there a lot, all right? And on this particular trip, I had the privilege of being with DJ Springman, who's our missions pastor. Also had the privilege of being with Pastor Gio. So, and him and I have probably done this 6 or 7 times, just the two of us, but we took about 20 baseball players to the Dominican Republic from Indian Rock School, and it was incredible, and we met a lot of people. I mean, we came in contact with large crowds of people, but here's the impression that I left with. Here's what was really stamped on my heart, were some one-on-one meetings. There's Pastor Johnny down in the Dominican. And Pastor Johnny's a guy that Pastor Gio and I met probably 5 years ago. And ever since then, every year when we take groups to Dominican, we always go by to see Pastor Johnny. Pastor Johnny has one of the poorest churches in the Dominican. And so one of the things that we do for him as an outreach is we provide about 50 to 60 meals so that he can do a feeding in the village. Now listen, you don't want Pastor Gio and I cooking the food for you, all right? Those aren't the type of feedings that we're talking about where you come out and you get a bowl of rice, maybe a hot dog. We're not talking about that. We're talking about going to the store and buying each family about $50 worth of groceries so that they'll have food for sometimes 3, 4, 5 days, depending on how many people are in that home. The last time our church was there back in November, we did a feeding in Pastor Johnny's church, and it's incredible. We have a praise and worship time. We have preaching. We have a couple of men share their testimony. And then one by one, Pastor Johnny will have families come up, and we'll hand them a bag, pray over them, and then they'll leave. The last time we were there in November, Pastor Johnny was telling me he had 4 families pray to receive Christ. And he said, "JD, here's the incredible thing. Those families have stayed in our church." And man, he was just beaming with excitement. Man, I love that one-on-one conversation that I was able to take away from the Dominican with Pastor Johnny. Or how about this? There's this incredible godly saint that lives in the Dominican. And about 7 or 8 years ago, there was a young lady who got pregnant. And she kind of hid her pregnancy from those in her community, and especially after she gave birth. She gave birth to a little girl. And the mom, felt like the little girl had an issue that she was embarrassed of. And this mom, if you can imagine, did not allow her daughter to be seen by anyone. Matter of fact, she kept her daughter locked away in a cage next to the dog. Her mother passes away when the little girl is about 7. And someone in the village for the first time recognized and realized that this mom had a daughter. So they go in to take the girl away and she could not speak. The only sounds that she had ever heard her entire life was the barking of a dog. So the only thing the 7-year-old girl could do when they took her in was to bark. So they turn to this godly lady in that community, in this village, and they said, "You're the only one that's going to be able to help her." So she took her in, and then she started taking other girls in. Then the government and churches and other people were like, "Hey, we've got a girl we want you to take in." And to this day, she has 38 girls that she's caring for, that she's loving. And her plea to us a couple years ago was, "I need more room because the government and churches want us to take more girls." So our church, through Pastor DJ, we are helping them build another dormitory so they can house another 38 girls in the Dominican. Now I walked away with that story. Or how about this? On the very last day, as we're packing up, getting ready to leave, we were taken care of. We stayed. We went through SCORE International, stayed at the Rawlings Complex, and there were people that obviously cooked for us and cleaned for us. Now listen, if you have sons, imagine this. I mean, there's 20 teenage boys. And 4 teenage men. I mean, you can imagine what this dorm looked like and smelled like. And so they're cleaning and they're taking care of us. And through that process, we find out that one of the ladies has recently come to know Jesus and left her life as a prostitute and is trying to follow Jesus with all of her heart and obviously struggling financially and different things. And she's got a 3-year-old girl who is going to need hip surgery, but before she can have the surgery, she needs somewhere between 12 and 13 physical therapy sessions that are going to prepare her hip for the surgery that's going to take place. And this lady was distraught. She was discouraged of where in the world am I going to get the money to take care of this? It was roughly about $350. So we were able to get with those high school boys, if you can imagine. And we had enough money that on the last day we go in and we share just a quick testimony with her. And then we pray for her. And then we give her enough money to take care of her daughter's physical therapy needs until she has the surgery. That's high school boys. Why? Because there's something that happens when God changes your life. You desire to have an impact on others. Because when you've met Jesus face to face, you just can't be the same anymore. We're going to see that played out today in the life of a true tax collector. We're going to see that played out today in the life of a sinner. His story is found in Luke chapter 19. So it's set up with Luke chapter 15. And then we jump over to Luke chapter 19. And we can see really where Jesus was taking those in the crowd that day. So you have the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I'm going to ask you once again to stay in Luke's Gospel, the 19th chapter. And I want to read this story to you, and then there's a couple of things I want to share from it, and then we'll pray and be dismissed today. So Luke chapter 19 is a story a lot of you have probably heard before. All right. Unfortunately, if you've grown up in church, and I don't mean unfortunately if you've been a part of church, but unfortunately in this regard, there is a song that goes with this scripture. All right. Now, let me just say this and we'll get to it at the very end. The song is totally wrong. All right. Our pastor, children's pastor here, Colin, would never, ever, never teach our children this song because it's wrong. All right. And so if you know the song, I'm sorry, because pretty much for the rest of the message, you're just going to sing it over and over and over. It's like being at Small World. There's nothing I can do about that. All right. But for those of you who did not grow up in church, let me just say to you, you're lucky right now. Now, not lucky in the fact that you didn't grow up in church, but the fact that you don't know this song is a good thing. OK, do not look it up on iTunes. I'm just warning you. If you do, that's on you. Luke chapter 19. And it says this, and he that we're referring to here is Jesus. OK, so Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. So, man, this is like an interstate, you know, sometimes you'd exit off, get your Chick-fil-A, get back on and go, all right? I mean, that's pretty much all that you had here. And so Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man named Zacchaeus. Church people, sorry. He was a what? Chief tax collector. And here's why this is important. A tax collector was basically considered a traitor, okay? Because they've done a couple of things. Here's what they've done. Basically, they've disowned their God. They've disowned their country. And they've disowned their family. That's what they've done. Because this is a Jewish person, Zacchaeus, who is collecting taxes on the behalf of Rome. Now, here's the problem with that. Your people have turned on you. Your country has turned on you. And Rome could really care less about you. And so here's Zacchaeus, who's probably now finding himself friendless, has found himself familyless. And here's Zacchaeus just wandering around. Now listen to what the scripture says. That he is the chief tax collector. So that is to tell us he's a supervisor of the tax collectors. So, I mean, this is something he's done for a while. This is something he does well. And here's what the scripture says in regard to that. He was rich. He was rich because of that. All right? Now, next part of the verse says this. Verse number 3. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead, climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, see who, see Jesus. For he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. Verse 6. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, once again, what do? The religious people, they grumbled. Are you kidding? Can you ever please the religious crowd? I mean, this is unbelievable. All right. So they grumbled. He has gone to be a guest of the man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today, this is important, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. Well, that's huge, because it was almost considered, man, if you're a son of Abraham, you're going to heaven. You have salvation. Why? Because you're a son of Abraham. It would almost be this thought today. Well, I go to church. I have to have salvation. I own a Bible. Sure, I have salvation. I live in America. Aren't all Americans have, don't they all have salvation? Sure. No. See, salvation is coming to his house this day because of his encounter with Jesus, not because of the fact that he was a son of Abraham. Hey, just a couple of things I want to point out to you today, all right? Here's number one. Is there anyone who accepts me? I mean, you had to know this is running through Zacchaeus' head. I mean, is there anybody out there who loves me? Is there anybody out there who I can be myself around? Is there anybody out there I can just be me? And for Zacchaeus, he had gotten to the point that the answer was really no. Because of what he had done and turned his back on so many, Zacchaeus was really only accepted by the other tax collectors. And they really only accepted him because they had to accept him because he was their supervisor. Yeah, I don't really know why you're here today. But you could be here wondering, does God really want me? I mean, I read my Bible and I read stories of these incredible encounters, but can God really accept me? Here's what I'm going to tell you. Yes, He can. That God desires to accept you. So here's what was going on for Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus had power, but he didn't have peace. He had money. He just didn't have meaning. But here's what happened for Zacchaeus, and I hope it happens for you today. Zacchaeus gets desperate.
I mean, here's a Jewish man, if we can go back to verse 1, maybe verse 2. Here's a Jewish man that does two things that Jewish men in that day, especially those of authority, especially those of power, especially of those of prestige, they would never, ever do. Here's the first thing he does. The Bible says, let's go maybe to the next verse. I'm sorry about that. Verse 3. The Bible says, in seeking Jesus, all right, he does something that's pretty incredible. The next verse, verse 4 says, so he's seeking after Jesus, and look what he does. He ran. I mean, Jewish people didn't do that. Jewish men of authority did not run. They didn't run. You know what Zacchaeus is doing here? He's desperate. And I don't know if you're here today and you're desperate. And maybe you're here and your marriage is falling apart. And you're like, hey, look, I'll give the church a chance. Or maybe you're here today and your finances are falling apart. And you're going, hey, maybe I need to just go back to God. I don't know why you're here. But if you're here and you're desperate, then you're in a good place. Because Zacchaeus is desperate. He's running. Not only is he running, but we see in the next part of this, he's climbing. I mean, this is unbelievable. This would be like a businessman in our community out on Ormerton waiting for the parade to come by, and he can't see. And so he, in his suit, he's up in a tree. We'd be like, what is he doing? What's he doing up there? He's desperate. Well, what is he desperate for? He's desperate to see Jesus. You know what? You could be sitting here today and you're the same way. You know what? Maybe you come to church every week. Maybe you're reading your Bible every day, but it's like you're not seeing Him. It's almost like you don't see the face of Jesus, and you're desperate for that. Because there was a time when you were closer to Jesus than you are right now. And you're wondering, what happened? Well, for Zacchaeus, there were a couple things he had to overcome. Number one, he had to overcome the crowd. And a lot of times it's the crowd, it's people in our life, possibly friends or maybe even family or associates that keep us from Jesus. And for Zacchaeus, it was the crowd that was keeping him away. And, you know, in all reality, it was the religious people that were keeping him away. The second thing that you may have to overcome today is circumstances. That's stuff in your life. And some of you may have some stuff in your life and you're going, I just don't know if I can get to Jesus. And I promise you, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the stuff in your life, if you're desperate enough, you can get to Jesus. And then here's the third thing that you're going to have to overcome like Zacchaeus did, and that is our carnal self. We've got to overcome the sin in our life. Well, how do we overcome that? Well, first and foremost, we have to admit that it is sin. That we have sinned. And here's the great news for all of you today. We've all sinned. That's the one part of the story I told you we can all relate to. We are all sinners separated from God. So these are three things for Zacchaeus that he had to overcome. Here's the second thing that I want you to see in our story today as we kind of just look at an outline. Number one, does anyone accept me? And number two is this, is Jesus really worth you seeking after? I mean, is he really worth it? Is it really worth to be desperate, to go crazy, to do stuff that other people think, man, you're weird. Why would you do that? Because I'm desperate to seek after Jesus. But if you're seeking after Jesus in that journey, some point along that path, you're going to stop and you're going to ask yourself this question, but is it worth it? I mean, is this worth it? I've devoted my life to this. Is it truly worth it? Here's what I'm going to tell you. Yes, Jesus is worth it. All right. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then Matthew chapter 16, verse 26 says this. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? And the answer is there's really nothing you can give. Why? Because it's only found in a relationship with Christ. So the question is it worth following after Jesus? And I'm going to tell you, yes. Why? Because Jesus is far more than just a preacher. He was far more than just a teacher. He was far more than a person that did miracles. He was far more than just a good person. Jesus was God the Son. And that's huge. And that makes it worth it. Because Jesus left heaven, came to this earth, and for 33 years lived his life and never committed not even one sin, and then allowed himself to die on a cross so that your sin debt could be paid for. And here's the great news, and we're going to celebrate, well, we celebrate it every day, but we're going to really celebrate it in a couple weeks. And then Jesus rose from the grave. Why? He is alive. Yes, he's worth you pursuing after. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We always read Ephesians 8 and 9, but look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says this, "For we are God's masterpiece." I have two baseballs. I mean, opening day is today for some teams, tomorrow. And, you know, if you just look up here, you're like, man, two baseballs? Okay, they look new. So, what, $6, $7 they're worth? And, yeah, probably somewhere around there. Except for one of them is more valuable than the other. Because one of them has been signed. And not just signed by anyone, but signed by one of the best pitchers in the game of baseball. A good friend of mine signed this. You know what? These two baseballs in and of themselves of the same value. But all of a sudden, this one, due to a signature, due to a person's name written in ink, all of a sudden adds incredible value. Amazing worth is given to this ball just because of a signature. Hey, you know what? A lot of you, you view your life kind of like these baseballs. Man, I'm not special. I'm nobody. Man, I mean, there's almost 7 billion people on the planet. Who am I? And a lot of you just see yourself like this. But can I tell you this? That if you're a born-again believer in Jesus, you've been signed by Jesus. You are a masterpiece that he has created us. And you are new in Christ Jesus. You have worth. So is it worth following after Jesus? Yes, because Jesus adds worth and value to your life. Because he signed you. You've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. You are a masterpiece. So yes, there's worth in following after Jesus. So here's the third thing that I want to share with you today. And that's this. So number one, am I accepted? Number two, is Jesus really worth following? And here's number three, Jesus in all reality is seeking after you. See, here's what's incredible about the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus hears that Jesus is coming into town. And we're not really sure why. Scripture doesn't tell us that. But maybe Zacchaeus, you know, maybe he's feeling the hole in his soul. And maybe Zacchaeus is saying, you know what? This is the time that I need to turn my life around. Or maybe Zacchaeus had heard the stories when he was a child. And Zacchaeus is recalling those and saying, you know what? What I'm doing is wrong and I need to go back to God. Or maybe Zacchaeus is using this for popularity. Of trying to figure out, hey, this Jesus character, man, the large crowds are following him. Maybe I can learn some of his tricks. Maybe I can learn his trade and I can collect even more money. I can get even richer. So whatever Zacchaeus' motive was to going to Jesus and climbing up in a tree to try to find him, I want you to realize this, that it was actually Jesus who was there to seek and to save Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus is climbing up in a tree, and in just a few days, it's going to be Jesus who's going to get on a cross for Zacchaeus. It's going to be Jesus who gets on a cross for all of us who sin and fallen short of the glory of God. So in all reality, it's Jesus seeking after us. I love in our story today when Jesus passes by and he looks up into the tree. And what does he do? He calls Zacchaeus by name. He doesn't just say, hey, you dude up in the robe up in a tree. That looks weird. Get down. He doesn't say, hey, you that walked away from the church or left the synagogue or stopped reading your Bible or doesn't pray to me anymore. Hey, you, get in. He says, Zacchaeus. Now, here's where I'm going to bust your bubble if you grew up in church. And some of you have taught this, so don't tell anyone. Pretend like, no, I never did that. All right, good. in the song that we used to teach children, and maybe some of you learned it this way, in that story, we have Jesus coming to Zacchaeus, and you know what he does? He's pointing his finger. Zacchaeus, you come down from that tree. Can I tell you, that language is not in the Greek. It's not there. It's not finger pointing Jesus. I hate it. It makes for a good song, I guess. I mean, I think they had to come up with some motion so the kids could learn it, but it's not biblical. In all reality, it's Jesus going, hey, Zacchaeus, man, come down. Because today, I must go to your house. You know why? Not only is he calling him by name, he's calling him into fellowship. Zacchaeus, I'm going to your house. We're going to have a meal together. Jesus, you obviously don't know who I am. I mean, any second now, the people are going to start complaining and calling out. They're going to grumble. I'm not sure if you've heard that word before, but they're going to grumble. Yeah, I've heard of it. I found it in Luke 15 as well. Right? And so Jesus realizes, Zacchaeus, I know what's going to happen. And today I'm going to your house. Here's four action steps that I want you to take in regard to the story of Zacchaeus. Here's number one. Refuse to allow the crowd to get in the way. Refuse to allow the crowd to keep you from Jesus. See, we always think of the crowd as people. Maybe in your life it could be. But it could also be an addiction. It could also maybe be pride. Whatever that is, don't allow the crowd to keep you from Jesus. Here's number two. Recognize that Jesus came to seek and to save. John chapter 3, verse 16 says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, that's a verse probably most of you at some point in your life, you've heard it, if not quoted it, if not memorized it. And yet there's something tragic about that. It says, for God so loved the world. And here's what I want to say, that if God loves the world, that means God loves you. And if God loved the world, you know what that also means? That you and I should love the world. And Jesus came not to condemn the world, but to save the world. So Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Here's number three. What are you waiting for? I mean, right now, what's keeping you from your best life, your best days with Jesus being today? For those of you who've never really put your faith in Christ, what's keeping you from doing that? And maybe you have questions. Maybe you feel like God won't accept you. Listen, if God will accept Zacchaeus, he will accept anyone. So what's keeping you? And then here's number four, and I want to spend just a couple of minutes here and then we'll close. Heart change will lead to life change. You know what happened right as Zacchaeus has his encounter, face-to-face meeting with Jesus? It changes him. Now, I'm not talking about penance, okay? I'm not talking about that at all. I'm not talking about you've got to earn your way into heaven. Jesus had already said, salvation has come to Zacchaeus. Now, watch this. When God changed his heart, he changed his lifestyle. When God changed him, he wanted to be a positive change in his community. So here's what I believe God does. God, first of all, changes us in regard to our salvation. And then second of all, God changes us in regard to our service for him. Where he changes us, where all of a sudden we begin to serve in the church. All of a sudden we begin to serve him in the community. All of a sudden we begin to serve him in our inner circle around the country. See, because once God changes us, we just can't help but allow that change to come out. There's a young lady, she's a senior in our ministry, her name's Emily. And Emily had gone to Guatemala on a mission trip. And when she went to Guatemala on a mission trip, man, God changed her. She was working with some at an orphanage there, and God just really gripped her heart. And her 16th birthday was approaching. Now, if you can remember when you were turning 16, you were probably thinking maybe a car, maybe a driver's license, maybe new clothes, maybe money to go buy all those things that you knew your parents couldn't do a good job of buying. So you just give me the cash and I'll do it myself. Here's what Emily wanted for her 16th birthday. She wanted money like a lot of students would want. But she didn't want money to buy something for her. She wanted money to help build another dorm for the orphans in Guatemala. Now, because that is so crazy, because that is so unique, not only did we as a church pick up on that, but the local news media picked up on it. And she became known throughout the Bay Area, and she became a Facebook sensation of, here's a young girl that instead of wanting gifts and presents and money for herself, she's desiring to help those in need. And Emily, over the last couple of years, has been raising money to try to build a dorm for more girls to be able to live in a safe place in a Christian environment in Guatemala. Matter of fact, she went on a mission trip there with her school, and then she spent her entire spring break working at this orphanage. Why would she do that? Because when God changes you, He desires that you change others. See, God's going to use your changed life to touch other people. Now, let me tell you about a fourth grader in our church. His name's Mikey. And Mikey was at Disney, and like most fourth graders who have been to Disney, there is a point where a switch goes off inside of your heart that sends a signal to your head that says, you should act like a brat right now. And if you've ever been a parent, you know exactly what's going on in this moment. And like most parents, it drives us nuts. And it drove Mikey's parents nuts. And they did something that we're able to do today that if you took kids to Disney, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, you're not able to do. You just had to pull them out of line. And there used to be a word called spank, but we don't use it anymore. And you discipline them in whatever way, and then maybe take them home or not buy them a balloon when you leave, or they don't get the Mickey ears, whatever. But what these parents are able to do today, they pulled out their cell phone. Right? How creative is this? And they started showing them pictures of kids who don't have the incredible privileges that Mikey had. So Mikey started contemplating that, started thinking about it. All the way as they drove back home, and when Mikey got home, he went on the computer and started Googling and started searching. And if you're here today and you don't understand what that means, talk to a little kid. They'll help you. And so he's searching the internet, and he finds that there is a legit Christian ministry that allows you to send in new and used, and they really don't even care how used they are, right? Shoes, so that they can give them to children in other countries who have nothing. And so here's a fourth grader in our church that has a desire to raise 25,000 pairs of shoes to send to kids he doesn't even know. Why? Because, see, there's something about when God changes your heart that He continually works on your heart to the point that He desires that you change others. Two things that I have for you today as we close. Number one, are you desperate for God? I mean, are you willing to pull the robe up, tie it around you, and run and even climb to see Jesus in your life? Here's the second question I have. If God's changed you, then where are you allowing that change to have impact on others? See, because God didn't change us. It never says, where it says Jesus came to seek and to save those which were lost. It never says, and Jesus came to seek and to save the lost so they can sit in a chair on a Sunday morning. Man, you kidding? Jesus didn't give His life just so we can sit in an auditorium on a Sunday. Our lives have been changed. Now, who's that change influencing? I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. Just close your eyes, bow your head. And maybe you're here today and like Zacchaeus. And maybe you feel like, man, there's no way God wants me. I've done too many things wrong. I've messed up too many times. I've made too many promises that I broke. I've gone away from God and the church and the whole thing. But if you're here today and you truly desire a relationship with Jesus, Jesus truly desires a relationship with you. And you're not here by accident. And it wasn't just by chance. And maybe you even came today to kind of see what this thing was all about. And you thought you were coming here to check out Jesus, and Jesus came here to change you. So if you're sitting here today, and maybe there's never been a time that you've asked God to forgive you of your sins, to change your heart, to become your Lord and Savior, I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and it's not a magical prayer. Matter of fact, the prayer is not even found in the Bible. But the Bible does say that we are to confess our sins and that we are to call out on the name of Jesus. And that if we'll do that, we'll be saved. And so if you desire, like Zacchaeus, for your life to be changed by Jesus for the very first time, would you pray a prayer something like this? Dear God, I know that I've sinned. I know that I've messed up. I've turned my back on you. I've gone a different way. But Father, I confess my sins to you. I invite you to become my Lord, to become my Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. With your eyes closed and your head bowed. If you prayed that prayer with me this morning, would you just raise your hand at me? Amen. God bless you. Amen. Anybody else, if you prayed this morning up in the balcony? Amen. God bless you. God bless you. You know what? There's some of you here today, and God has changed you. But that change isn't influencing anyone. Man, I would just ask you, and just in the quiet moments of this time we have left, that you would just say, God, I know you didn't change me just to sit me. But you changed me so that my life can now be the salt and the light of the earth as you desire it to be. So if you're here, maybe you could just pray silently, God, where is it that you want my change to take place? Is it here in the church? Is it in our community? Is there a circle of influence, God, that I need to be your salt, your light? I need to be an example of your grace in that area. And God, I haven't been doing that. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to share your love and story of grace and mercy and an encounter of Zacchaeus coming face to face with you. And God, how you changed his life because he was desperate for you. And God, I know that there are those that are in here today that were desperate for you. Father, that more than air to breathe, more than water to drink or food to eat, God, we need you to intervene in our lives. So, Father, I pray that you would work. And God, I know that there are those of us in here, and God, maybe like Zacchaeus, maybe there was a time we went to church, or maybe there was a time we did good things, but for whatever reason, we've kind of drifted away, and maybe we've put our business life different from our Christian life, or we've put our marriage or our family different from the church, and we've so compartmentalized it, Father, that we're not making a change anywhere. So, God, I pray that we realize that you didn't change us to sit us. God, you changed us, you saved us, so we can serve you and bring you glory. So, Father, help us as a church to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, I'm going to ask Pastor Tim to come out. He's going to close us today. Thank you very much for allowing me to come and share with you this morning.
Thanks, JJ. Hey, let's all stand. As we close, just a couple of things. One is, DJ is going to be right up front right here. And if you prayed that prayer today, accept Christ, I'd love for you to just come by and tell him that, hey, this morning I prayed that prayer. But if you pray that prayer, stop by, tell someone about it today. If you want to still get in Main Street, you can still do that today. Guests, we want to thank you for being here with us and the whole Kentucky bunch. Your team is still alive in the playoffs, so that's all good, I know, for you guys that are in visiting. Thank you guys for being here with us. And there is a guest reception right out these middle doors, and we'd love to have you guys meet us out there too. So we've already prayed together. You guys have a great day. We'll see you in Connection Groups.